Before we, I don't know, you may be planning to cover this in another way, but I also want to be sure we wrap our mind around your market and your opportunity market just a little bit.
Sure.
So should I ask you about that now, or are you planning to cover that already or what?
No, let's hit it right now. So it'll be a nice framework for the houses you're going to see.
Okay. And here's, just to be more specific with the question, we want to understand, as you look at the arena of deals out there, the arena, the real estate arenas that you're in, what is the criteria, the filters that you use to narrow down to the types of deals you like to do? And just as an example, it could be geographic. It may be certain areas, maybe demographic, could be price point, could be types of houses that are in those areas, or it could be completely based on something else entirely. But, you know, help us understand Pete Gauthier's opportunity market or markets.
All right, let me rock your world tonight. Everybody pull your pens out and pull your pads out. You're going to want to write this down. So, number one, what
I do. You have to hit show my screen, by the way, if you want to show your screen, just so you
know. Yeah, it's okay. I'm just going to yak for a little bit, and then I'll get to the screen.
Okay.
So, let me rock your world a little bit. So, write this down. I focus in the marketplace that has the greatest number of potential buyers. And so, that way, I've always got the numbers working for me in my favor. And so what does that mean? Well, look, there are two segments of the marketplace that are unaffected by recession, unaffected by the economy. The first is the section that Frank McKinney thrives in, and Frank McKinney is the maverick real estate investor in Florida, and he rehabs oceanfront mansions. And he started out with crack houses, and now he's the modern-day Robin Hood, to tell you the truth. You can learn more about him by frankmckinney.com. And when I say he's the modern-day Robin Hood, he takes money from the rich and he gives it to the poor. Here's how he does it. He builds multi-million dollar spec homes oceanfront in the Palm Beaches. And you know, typically it takes him 150 days to get his houses sold. They sell very, very quickly. And so that segment of the market is unaffected by recession. I've spoken to Frank about it, and it'd be terrifying for me. And he says that most of his buyers, it's their second home. And by the way, we're not talking like 5 and 6 million, JP. We're talking 50 million, 60 million for a house. And he says that what they do is they buy the house cash. They usually just wire the funds directly in. And so it doesn't matter what the economy's doing. They're able to just wire the money in and bang, it's done. It's a done deal.
Right.
So anyway, there's that segment. Now, here's the segment, the other segment that is unaffected by the economy. It's the first-time home buyer market. And so that's the segment of the market where I concentrate in. The first-time home buyers have always got, number one, these are people that have to have housing. Okay? And so because of the government programs that are in place for down payment assistance plus FHA for getting funding, they have access to capital to buy homes. Now that's huge. And so in my marketplace, that represents homes that will retail in the 225 to 250 range in the DC market, and it's just slightly lower in the Baltimore market. It's 200 to 225. And of course there are segments within each of those markets where they're a little bit higher and a little bit lower, but that's the sweet spot in my marketplace. And so what I do is I look for niches in that marketplace where there's a lot of activity, where first time home buyers are buying. Now, why is this important to you, JP? The reason this is important is because when I'm out hunting for houses, I'm just not looking for cheap dumps. That's not good enough. You see, because here's what I know. There are some neighborhoods that are primarily rental. And if you buy a cheap house in a rental neighborhood and you want to sell it for retail, guess what? The first-time home buyers aren't dumb. They don't want to live in rental neighborhoods. They want to live where other homeowners live. And so that's why that is just is so critical. So first-time home buyer neighborhoods. And the way you can find it is you can go on your MLS. You can do a search for where is the greatest number of homes taking place. And look, for those on the call, I don't know where you're from, but if you know, if you're in Indianapolis, it's going to be one price level. If you're in San Francisco, it's going to be another price level. And what you can do is you can go into your MLS and do some research, and you can see what price bands most of the sales are taking place in. That's going to tell you where your first-time home buyer market is. So that's number one. Here's the second criteria, JP, and nobody, there are very few people, actually it's very rare that people teach this. And here's what's important to understand. The most important thing when you go to buy a house that you want to fix and flip is it's got to be easy to sell once it's beautiful. Now, what makes a house easy to sell? Well, let's talk about what makes a house hard to sell. I mean, number one, you got to do a great job rehabbing it. Okay, in today's marketplace, you put in the bells and whistles so that at the same price point, you want the home buyers to come in and go, wow, this is the best house there is for the price, and fall in love with your house. That's how they sell. That's how they sell in 7 to 21 days, even in today's marketplace. Okay? And so, I mean, like, here's an example. In my kitchens, I'll put in recessed lights in the kitchen. And you can get a contractor's kit at Home Depot. It costs $36 for six cans. And then I'll put in, I'll use the jewelry store effect, and I'll put in recessed 90-watt halogen floodlights on a dimmer switch in the kitchen. Well, I'm going to tell you, just like the jewelry, you see every facet of a diamond in a jewelry store, they're using halogen lights. When you use that in your kitchens, just like the jewelry store, it brings out the colors and it brings out the textures of all your materials. And so it's a way to create value inexpensively because it triggers an emotional response with that color and that texture of your materials. So that's number one. Put the bells and whistles in. I mean, for example, to put body sprays into a bathroom, you go, body sprays, that's what we have in, like, you know, $400,000, $500,000 houses. Well, you can put them in your first-time home buyer houses. You know how much it costs to put a body spray in, JP?
Nope.
$1,400. That's the additional increase in price is $1,400. And if your house has one and the three other houses you've looked at don't, whose are they going to fall in love with? Yours. And so those are some of the things. Put the bells and whistles in to create an emotional response in people to go, wow. And so those are a couple of my favorite. Now, here is what you're going to want to write down. And what I recommend is write this list down, put it on a 3x5 card, laminate it, put it on Velcro, and when you're out looking at houses, and I don't care if you're a rehabber or a wholesaler, put that on your dashboard so that you don't forget. Let's talk about a few of them. Number one, this ought to be obvious, no war zones. What's a war zone? Those are places where there's high crime, where people are hanging out, drug areas. You know, my basic criteria is if my wife can't go there without me, I'm not buying there. Well, guess what? Your first-time home buyers don't want that either. So number one, no war zones. Number two, no two-bedroom houses. Number three, no low ceilings, no 7-foot ceilings. Number four, no dinky houses. What that means is no houses less than 1,000 square feet. Number five, no small master bedrooms. What's a small master bedroom? Well, let's define it. Nothing smaller than 12x12 for a master bedroom. Here's the reason why. Young families today, and first-time home buyers are young families, they all want king-size beds. And so if the room is not 12x12, guess what? You can't get a king-size bed in it and have any furniture and move around the room. Here's one you see sometimes. No going through a bedroom to get to another bedroom. We call that functional obsolescence.
Yes.
Okay? Nobody wants to do that. Here's another one. We see this one in Baltimore sometimes. Nothing goofy like a kitchen in the basement. Nothing goofy like the primary bathroom right off the kitchen. No junky neighbors. And look, there's several definitions of junky neighbors, so make sure you get all these down. Number one, nobody wants to live next to Fred Sanford, okay? So if there's a boat and six cars on blocks on the house next to yours, it's a pass because you're going to have a hard time selling that house. Number two, not next to a commercial property. Nobody wants to live next to a commercial property. Number three, and here's what that also includes. No firehouses. So if you see one of those things when you pull up to a house, just keep on going. Scratch it off your list and keep on trucking. That's what I do.
Man, that's a great list. I hope everybody took that down.
You need to write this down. There's one more I want to share with you. No busy streets. No busy streets. Your clue is a double yellow line. It's not all inclusive. That's just a clue. But what you want to do, here's the thing. When your homeowners come and look at that house and it's 5 p.m. and it takes them 20 minutes to get out of the driveway, they're not going to buy that house. So these are all things that will keep people from buying a house. There's more, but that will give you a great place to start.
Or you could also say if the speed limit is above 35 miles an hour.
That's another one. And let's get to the reason so that you understand the reason for this. What everybody's thinking about is safety and security for themselves, their kids, and their pets. And so nobody wants the thought of living on a busy street where someone could get run over. They don't want the noise, and they don't want the headlights going through their living room window. So no busy streets. I'll give you a few more. This is important for you. No goofy lots. Okay? And so if you got to climb Mount Everest to get up to the front door, all your homeowner's thinking about is, wow, if it's snowing and icy out, I got to schlep my groceries from the car up Mount Everest before I can get them in the house and then back again for a couple trips. No, thank you. And vice versa, getting the trash down to the curb. Same thing goes for the lots in the back of the house. If it's a goofy lot where it drops off steeply and you don't have use of the yard, that's a negative.
Now, let me just add, some of these are automatic deal killers like a busy street, but also some of these can be overcome. They could be opportunities. For example, functional obsolescence. You know, Craig's haunted house that you wholesaled to him was pretty darn functionally obsolete, but he turned that into a really nice place by turning a bedroom into a kitchen and a kitchen into a laundry room. Or a busy street, even, I think, could be overcome at the right price point, right? If you're looking at a house that has an ARV of $200,000 and it needs $15,000 worth of work, and you can pick it up for 20, well, even on a busy street, you can wholesale that bad boy.
Well, here's what your continuum is, JP. The continuum is risk. And here's what the reality is when you have a house on a busy street, you have to reduce your ARV by 20%.
That's
number one. And number two, you have to get in your mind, instead of selling in a week, it could take you 6 months or more to sell it. Because you have – and think of it in marketing terms, JP. Think of it in terms of number of eyeballs. You've got a smaller group of people who might say yes. And so if you have a smaller group of people that might say yes, you've got the numbers working against you, you know, for your price point house.
Right. And you've got to offset those negatives that you can't do away with some really strong positives like price point.
One thing, if I can add, you know, what I've seen also that you have to be careful of is if the market's dropping, in a lot of areas it still is, you know, if the market drops, you know, 10% while your house is being rehabbed, that house on the busy street is dropping a lot more than 10%.
Yeah.
It just gets hit worse.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent point.
There's one more thing, JP, and this is important for everybody on the call to understand, because you started to go down the path, JP, of saying, well, everything can be overcome by price. And so if I can paraphrase, that means that your drop-dead gorgeous house, you can lower the price to attract a buyer. Now, here's where the misnomer comes in today's marketplace, and I'm qualifying it by today's marketplace. Interest rates today are 4%. What that means to your home buyer is if you drop the price by $10,000, JP, you're only dropping the monthly payment by $40. Think in terms of benefit.
Right.
$10,000 is a lot out of my pocket to drop the price. but the benefit to the buyer, it's only $40. And so, you know, the cost benefit of just dropping the price to get the house sold, it doesn't make sense in today's environment.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right.